Good morning and welcome to Christian Community Church. We're the church's family where grace reigns and where Jesus rules. My name is Seth Baker. I'm the worship pastor and the youth pastor. And today is Youth Sunday. That's what I'm talking about. I felt the excitement. I felt like you guys wanted to hoot and holler a little bit today.
Wow. That was our fourth year. We've been going there since 2015. Is that math right? 15, 16, 17? Yeah. Yeah. Whew. Start sweating when I do math. But, wow. So this is the Youth Zinky team. Awesome. This is them. Yeah, great. Look at them. Wow. Gosh, there's even a bow tie up there. Well, would you look at that? And there's a cool scooter thing. Is that motorized? Oh, okay. That's all right. Need to get some Homer tires on there. Those big, you know, big Homer tires. Anyway, this crew, Emerald, it's good. Shake your head at me. Wow. I'm telling you what, this team this year was fabulous. We're going to show a kind of like a highlight or an update and to just recall some of those memories. But let me tell you, from 8 a.m. until 10:30 p.m. every day, we were going strong. And this team in particular, I don't know what it was, whether it was, you know, I don't know. Elijah? No. No. No, we had such a huge leadership team, and I think that really was a highlight for me this year that was different than some of the other years. We took, six youth staff. So Josh Lockwood, Colton Johnson, Kirsten Swanson, Elijah Taylor, Dylan Lyon. Yeah, he's my pal. He went, and then myself. And the way that we were able to distribute the team and to accomplish all of the tasks that we had in store for us, we went above and beyond. We finished the tasks that Matt and Tammy wanted us to do as individual teams, which was filling up their woodshed, was putting siding on the house, and doing sheetrock work, okay? So this is not a little cakewalk. So when you guys send us over there, we are working hard. And not only did we revamp more of the mission house, we don't have a before and after, but just when we first went there in 2015, and the way that it looks now is night and day. You can see God's redemptive activity transforming Youth Zinky, especially through the mission house and through Mount and Tammy and the work that they do and the work that we do because you guys sent us, right? It's phenomenal. And not only that, every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we did Bible clubs. And you saw some of the crafts that we did with the kids. And this year for me, because, you know, we've gained some traction, it just was over the top. My time's up. Okay.
Well, I was a new Zinky. I was on wood crew. We removed a tree that had fallen in someone's yard. I also enjoyed spending time with the natives. Also, huge thanks to anyone who donated their time or money to send Ignite Youth to Zinky, Alaska.
Hi, my name is Emerald, and this year was my fourth year going to Zinky. I have gone every year since the youth group's first trip in 2015. The change that I have seen in the village kids is amazing. 4 years ago, most of those kids wouldn't look me in the eye or have a conversation with me. Now when we go, it's rare if a village kid isn't talking to you. Many of those kids understand the love of God and are spreading it throughout the village, and they are helping me to understand more of God's love. My goal for this year was to see a sparkle in the kids' eyes when we performed our Bible skits, and our team did put a sparkle in the kids' eyes. It was amazing to see how entranced the village kids were. And I got to see a lot of growth in our team as well. At the beginning of the week, our team was kind of disjointed and awkward around each other. However, by the end of the week, we were a well-oiled machine and acted as if we had been working as a team for years.
My name is Clayton Beachy, and I've been to Yuzinki 4 different times now, and this time was by far the best one. One of my highlights from the trip was during work duties. I was on the wood crew helping fill the shed. It's amazing to see how the kids get up in the morning to help you work instead of sleeping in just because they want to be around you. Another thing I enjoyed and reflect upon now is the kids still text me asking when we're going to come back to see them, and it shows just how much God has spread his love.
My name's Alexis. This is my second year going to Yuzinki. I got to be on the siding crew, and we hung siding on the entire lower half of the mission house. That was fun, but my highlight was making friends with Savannah, who is one of the native girls, and she's a twin, like me. Reconnecting with all the other kids I had already made friends with was also awesome. As a second highlight, I got to see orcas for the first time.
My name's Elijah. I was the leader of the wood crew. We probably were the most productive. The biggest thing that I saw in these kids was when we started out, They were working, but they're a little slow. And as we progressed and as the week went on, their work ethic improved more than I could have imagined. And the way they reached out to all the kids there was amazing. And one of the biggest highlights was the last night we were there, we were having a bonfire. And one of the girls was sitting by herself. And no one really noticed it. And so Tammy suggested it to some of the kids there to go hang out with her, and they did, and it really changed the rest of the night. And it was an awesome trip overall, and these kids went to great heights to reach out to these kids.
My name is...
I'm Kirsten. I'm the female youth leader that went to Yuzinki, and I think that the most influential way God changed me was to be able to see children who truly did not have love at home and were in horrible situations where they didn't know where they were sleeping that night because their parents were so lost that they could not go home and they could not go to auntie's because it was the same situation there. And they were able to still totally understand and know fully God's love to a degree that we don't have here, where we do have love from our parents and we do have that wonderful situation. And they were able to truly see God's love and show it to me.
My name is Maxwell, and in Yuzinki, I got to experience the Lord in ways I never have before. I got to grow in Him and learn new things that will help me throughout life. One of my highlights from the trip was on the last day. Everybody except me, Seth, and Alexis went out to Matt and Tammy's beach property to finish up some work. And we stayed back to finish the siding, and while we were there at the house, one of the native kids, Gavin, showed up and worked with us and helped us out for a while. It was awesome to see that he had just got up and ran over to the mission house to come help us out when he could have stayed home and been sleeping or playing video games. Thank you for all your support, and thank you for buying our prize.
Hi, my name's Electra. One of the things that I enjoyed doing was working on the wood team, and I have to agree with Elijah, but we chopped the wood and stacked it and split it, and I was in charge of the stacking, and I stacked most of the shed. Clayton did about a row. And it was really cool to see the kids come and help us out with that, too. And the other time that stood out to me was when we went out to Yuzinki Point. And I went all the way as far as I could out without getting on the beach. And while I was sitting there, I realized that God is the most wonderful creator ever. He can create things that we couldn't even imagine. But even if we did have the ability to create things like God did, it still wouldn't be as like Him, because we don't have His majesty and glory to pour into all of our work. And I can't really describe it, but it was the best time in Yuzinki for me.
I'm Natalie. This was my first year going to Yuzinki.
it was the most life-changing experience for me because it showed me that a lot of people don't have great family lives, and like all the kids in Yuzinki, like they don't have people that will love them and like have family. Like they don't really have family time, or like it was just really sad. My favorite part of our trip was being able to like help Tammy and help them with the house and clean up their beach property, and also being able to hang out with the kids, because that was great, because all of them, none of them even knew me, and like they were coming up and giving me hugs, and it was so much fun.
Hi, my name is Seth, and to have been on the 4th Ignite Youth mission trip to Yuzinki, I just really consider that an honor. And during my time there, I could feel myself and the others coming closer to the Lord God. As impressive as that is, and great, my favorite part of the trip were the kids and how obvious it was that they were just really up there with the Lord. Jasmine and Gavin, specifically, were two of the kids, and they were nearly always with us in person, be it having lunch with us at the skits or helping us work. But even when they weren't, right now, they're with us spiritually through prayer, as are all the other ones. And it amazed me to hear what sort of things were happening in the village, like Kirsten was talking about, and to see that the kids were holding up and that they were smiling the whole way. And it just shows the power of the Lord God working through them. And it moves me, and it makes me strive to be better.
Hi, my name is Sarah Shelton. I would like to begin by saying that the opportunity to go to Yuzinki has been such a blessing to me. The memories I have made are precious to me. From the moment we walked through the doors of the mission, it was obvious that the main thing we brought to the kids was joy. I've never seen such beautiful smiles as the ones I saw when we were doing our Bible skits and crafts. Our leaders, Matt and Tammy, continue to inspire me towards being more hardworking and dedicated to pursue the love of Christ. I would also like to say thank you to all of you for your generosity and giving to our youth group. Without you, we may not have been able to change the lives of the kids there, such as little Mia. Mia is a bright, shining star of joy that has greatly impacted my life. She's shown me that no matter what, there's everything that has a purpose for a smile.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Iris. My favorite memory in Yuzinki was gym night, and when we went down to Matt and Tammy's property to do work. I was on the siding crew for the first day, but then somebody sat on my wrist and injured it, so I wasn't able to help out.
Hello, my name is Simon. This year's trip was just extraordinary. Just seconds after stepping off the plane, after arriving in Yuzinki, there were little local kids running up into your arms to give you a big hug, and it's just so special. And just every day, from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep, you're playing with these kids, you're laughing with them, you're preaching the gospel. It's just amazing. A lot of these kids are really shy, but throughout the week, you can really see them come out of your shell. And when you get to know them, or when they start to come out of their shells, they really are just some of the most loving, exciting, and adventurous kids you'll ever meet. And these kids, our leaders Matt and Tammy, and the village of Yuzinki are just such blessings to us. And I can't thank you enough for all the amazing support you gave to get us there. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Josh. This is my second year on the Yuzinki Youth Group trip. I was in charge of the drywall crew. We may not have been the heaviest labored, but it was definitely the most detailed group. We also breathed in the most particulate of any group by a long shot. What I noticed the most about this trip was within the youth group itself and how much they became a family, how much they operated and worked as a family, united as a family, and how much they drew the Yuzinki kids into that family and showed them the love of God. They wrestled together, they hugged together, they just displayed their love through God to all these kids. And it was just a very remarkable thing to see, and it was a blessing to be on this trip. Thank you.
Hey, my name's Colton. I've been a youth leader here for about a year and a half. I did not know what to expect when I signed up to go on this trip. I'd never been before. I'd heard horror stories and good stories. Everyone was so excited about it. And I was like, this is like some little tiny island off the coast of Kodiak. What's so great about this place? I guess I'm going to find out. As soon as we found out we're going on this trip, we were warned that in the past, where there'd been lots of engagement with the locals and the children, this might be more of a sowing year and less of a reaping year. So they wanted us to not be discouraged if we felt like we were doing a lot of work and not seeing the results of it. This was not the case. As soon as we got there, we were welcomed directly into the home of Matt and Tammy. Children and local people were right there sweeping in, giving us hugs, excited, just infatuated with these strange kids that were coming to help them out. They've been looking forward to our arrival all year long. We got right to it. We got to the chores. My crew was the crew that cut and delivered all that wood you just heard about. One of the highlights for me was getting to work with the students for the first time ever, getting to spend a lot of time close contact with them, not seeing them grow up. It was a good chance for me to get to know them a lot better, to subject them to my bad jokes, feel like we got to know each other in a massive way in a very short amount of time, being elbow to elbow, working, playing, eating, washing dishes. Another huge highlight for me was particularly beautiful day. After a long walk, we stopped at this beach that we call Glass Beach, because years of trash and beer bottles have washed up on this beach and make it sparkle. We did our play, we did our Bible verses and our sermon, and we saw some beautiful orcas that swam closer to the coast. We screamed at them a little bit, and they swam even closer. You saw a couple pictures of the orcas. And I recall looking at that glass that was jagged, it was trash, cast out, and it had been polished by the sand into smooth, beautiful stones. When the water hits it, they just glow, and the water was hitting it, and it was glowing. And if that's not an analogy for some of the work that we're able to do as Christians with lives, then I don't know what it is. But thank you all so much for your support. Thank you for buying pastries. Thank you for donating and for chauffeuring the students around, and thank you for the prayers.
Before you guys take your seats, I'm just going to pray for Natalie. I'm going to pray for Kathy, and I'm going to pray for the zucchinis, is what we call them. If you rearrange the words of Uzinki, you can get there phonetically. Okay. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy and just your love for us. It says to cast your anxieties before you because you care for us. And because you care, that means everything. And so you care for Natalie, you care for Kathy, you care for their plight in life and where they are and the circumstances that they have experienced. And Kathy with her arm and Natalie with her foot. We pray for just your restoration, for your healing, and just for a receptivity for them and for their family and how you are teaching and molding and shaping us through all of the circumstances of life, that we would have those eyes to see the blessings in the midst of the pain. And we pray, too, just for the seeds that we planted in Uzinki, and just for an encouragement over there for those students, for the Peterson family in particular. Most of all those kids came to be with us, and so we pray for Michaela and Logan and Gavin and Jasmine and Javina, and then also just pray for continued relationship and connection with them, and that you just continue to allow Matt and Tammy to grow those roots that allow them to minister more deeply to the village and to the people. Thank you for the trust that they have developed with them there. And thank you for blessing us so that we get to see your work happen before our eyes. We thank you in Jesus' name, amen. All right, the Uzinki team. Awesome. Awesome. Testing, testing. Is this on? It's on. Perfect. Woo! Wow. So Iris fractured her wrist. What was the final? Just her, it hurt. Yeah, she got hurt. First day. Golly. The interesting thing is we went to this woman's house and cleared a tree that had fallen onto her yard, right? And then we go on later in the day and we do our routine and we're doing Bible club, we're hanging out with the kids. Iris gets hurt. We go back to the mission house and we're like, well, what do we do? I mean, it would cost hundreds of dollars for her to be seen at the clinic there. Or we would have had to fly her to Kodiak because we were worried about, you know, the extent of the damage in Iris's wrist there. And then Tammy's like, well, you know, there is someone in town that could probably, off the books, look at her wrist. In walks the woman who we had taken the tree out of her yard. You just never know. You know what I mean? Wow. And she was willing to help us. That was wild. Tammy, another one of my highlights is, I don't even know if we'll get into the message. We will a little bit. But another one of my highlights was the conversation I had with Tammy. She said, Seth, you've been doing this for 4 years. And because you keep coming back, you are creating a legacy here on the island. So the people on the island of Spruce Island in the village of Uzinki will always kind of have this connection with CCC or with Homer or that group from Homer or whatever, however they recognize us. But we're always going to have kind of a footprint there. Tammy says we have sweat equity, you know, in the place. And so we can go over there and vacation whenever we want, which is really a perk. Not why we do it, but hey, that's cool. But she wouldn't let me move on from that because she was like, Seth, you know, you helped make this happen. And I kept thinking, wow, God had worked in my life in such a way to give me a new life, to do something different. And here I am getting to establish a mission trip for a small local church in rural Alaska. And who knows what the Lord is going to do with that. But just to know that the Lord has used me and used this group. And when we were leaving, getting ready to load up on the plane, we got to fly home in a bigger plane, all of us for the first time in the same plane. Usually we take a small plane and we take a double run. And it just, I was so moved. And we were loading up, and then little Gavin, which is just like a little buffalo football-looking kid, comes up and just grabs me and hugs me. And at that point, I'm like, how can I keep this together? I get on the plane, and I just weeped like a baby. And because I just got to experience God working in my life, getting to be a part of something like that, softening my heart so that I even give a care, right? Wow. Praise God. Praise Him. Wow. Oh, my. Oh, my, oh, my. So here we are, Youth Sunday, and I wanted to tackle something. And I actually have a slide which will just illustrate perfectly what I'm going to talk about. Let's just see this, and I don't know if you're going to be able to read that. But
So here was my text last night to Rob, okay? It says, hey, what's up? Just wanted to see if you knew that it was Youth Sunday tomorrow. I know that you are lead reader tomorrow. I would love to have you and the normal greeting team in place. I only have a couple students that I could have support your team. Were you planning on breeding anyways? Yeah. Yeah. That is communication in a nutshell, or the failure to communicate well in a nutshell. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today. Are you the lead breeder? No. Not at church. Okay. Perfect timing on that, Rob. Thanks. So that was me using Siri, right? And unless you really articulate, Siri doesn't quite do that. But Dave and I send these messages back and forth all the time. And we need a translation from the message. I'm sure that some of you are recipients of those, okay? Yep, happens. So I want to talk about biblical guidelines for communicating in 5 minutes, okay? All right, here we go. We might go over just a little bit, but usually we're here till 12:15. If you guys don't mind extending the grace, I might take up all that time. In the 1990s, the international marketers had some monumental cross-cultural miscommunication blunders concerning brand names and slogans. Does that make sense? They had some slogans they wanted to send over to other cultures. Here were some of them. Swedish vacuum cleaner manufacturer Electrolux used the following in an American advertising campaign: "Nothing sucks like an Electrolux." Did I just say that in church? Yeah, we did. Okay, the name Coca-Cola in China was rendered as Keku Kela. Unfortunately, the Coke company did not discover until after thousands of signs had been printed that the phrase means "bite the wax tadpole." What? Okay. Coke then researched 40,000 Chinese characters and found a close phonetic equivalent, Coca-Cola, which be loosely translated as happiness in the mouth. For Coke lovers, yeah. Pepsi people, maybe not. Okay. Also in Chinese, the Kentucky Fried Chicken slogan, finger licking good, came out as eat your fingers off. That's not right. Oh, man. And then in Taiwan, the translation of the Pepsi slogan, "Come alive with the Pepsi generation," came out as, "Pepsi will bring your ancestors back from the dead." That's not what that means. Okay. So communication is always something that we are working on. There are endless books written about it. There's communication in marriage, communication with your teenagers, how to communicate with your toddler, how to talk to your cat, the dog whisperer, okay? I mean, it's insane, right? We're obsessed with communication. But really, though, isn't it as easy as just opening your mouth and talking? No. Yeah, that's right. No. I hope you all know that. But why? What's the secret? Did God mess up? Ever since the beginning of time, our ability to communicate well has been compromised. At best, it's distorted and flawed with these examples, right? In the book of the beginnings, the book of Genesis in the Bible, the story begins with God speaking and creating everything, and everything is good. He creates land, he creates the sea, he creates the stars, the moon, the sun, and it's all good. He creates man and woman, and then what? It's very good. We have to remember that. The foundations of this world with man and woman, very good. Then in comes the conflict. Satan enters the scene who was once the most majestic and talented of all of God's created beings, he considered that he could do a better job at being God than God. God didn't allow Satan to keep the position as heaven's worship leader, kicks him out of heaven. Then, what's not said overtly, I was thinking about in Scripture, can be insinuated, is that God let this happen. God let Satan try to overthrow his plan for creating a beautiful world where God and mankind lived in harmony. Was God surprised when this happened? Was God worried when he let this happen? He had a plan. But when that did happen, we have to realize what was at stake. Satan planted a thought in Adam and Eve's mind so Adam and Eve would question God's plan. They would question God's love. Did God really say, "You won't surely die? You actually can become like God"? So Adam and Eve began to ask, does God really have the best plan for us? Does God really love us? In that moment, they stopped trusting God and they believed a lie. At that moment, lies entered into the human race. Shame entered in. Pride, self-centeredness, fear, and death. The perfect relationship God had created was now severed. The connection that was once very good was now marred and distorted. Adam and Eve hid from God and hid from each other. Seeing what happened at the beginning, it's so glaringly obvious that this is the same thing that happens to us, right? Same thing. The effects of the first sin, pride, thinking that we have a better plan than God, not trusting God, believing a lie, separated them from God, separated them from each other. That's the same problem we have today, isn't it? In the biblical account of our history, that is a dark and painful moment. But God doesn't leave us in the same way he didn't leave them. See, God went out looking for them, and he came after them. He judged Satan and created a reminder for us that this really did happen. Okay? It really did happen. The reminder is death, we have it. We experience it. The other reminder is that he cursed the ground and he cursed childbirth. Two things we value so greatly is our work and our family and our kids. But what was meant to be a blessing now became difficult, painful, arduous, to remind us that Genesis is true. Our work and our raising kids, why are these things hard? Why is communicating hard? Because we sinned. Because our parents sinned. And we continue to sin and separate ourselves from each other and from God. Adam stopped communicating with God and hid. How often do you get impatient in a discussion and you walk away and slam the door because it's too difficult? You just separated yourselves from that situation. Your selfishness, your pride, your arrogance, how dare they talk to me that way? Your sin separates you from your family. Happens all the time. It's the same thing. We can actually look at the Bible as God orchestrating history and working in the lives of people to communicate to us his vast knowledge, his patience, his holiness, his righteousness, his power and wrath, his wisdom and his loving kindness. The whole Old Testament is him communicating to us how he will send us the remedy that humanity needs. And yes, it took a long time. Why did it take so long? Well, God is immense, and his plan for rescuing us is vast and comprehensive, perfectly thorough. The whole Bible demonstrates that we are not alone in this, that we are not stuck in isolation. We are not stuck figuring this out on our own. The Bible offers us hope we must all realize that we need. So that was the breakdown. Here's the bridge. So biblical principles for communicating well. Wow, what a task. We're going to go there. So I first put this together for a parent night that we did for Ignite Youth. And just because I am in the trenches with youth ministry, and I realize so much of the problems is just the lack of connection, the lack of communication. And if there's one thing you take away from all this, err on over-communicating in your families. Just over-communicate. Just talk too much about stuff. You know what I mean? Just get it out there and let God, you know, give you the grace to work it out. Okay? All right. On the other hand, you got to listen. Okay? You can't just be the one blabbing and get it and all out all the time. You got to listen too. Okay? That's it. We're done. No. What I love about the scriptures is because God takes so long to lay down this foundation of his character, of who he is, we have to have a foundation in our home that we are developing. And this foundation is kind of like the same thing that God does with a covenant. He commits himself unilaterally to humanity and says, I'm going to love you. I'm going to rescue you. Abraham, you're mine. I'm going to bless the nations through you. And so everything else in Abraham's life, he was kind of a scallywag when it came to some things. Forgive me, Abraham, okay? But we have it, okay? We can read it. All right. His relationship to God wasn't based upon his performance. It was based upon God's covenant to him, God's commitment and unconditional love to humanity. So that's the same type of thing, environment we have to have as a foundation in our homes. Amen? I didn't read that in a self-help, how to raise your kid book. That's the Bible, okay? Just a foundation of unconditional love where you unilaterally commit yourself to your kid regardless of their behavior. They are yours. God gave them to you. Commit to love them. Promise to love them no matter what. That's our whole thing in our home is we do correction and discipline. I'm not going to go into detail about that, but we always do in that context of saying, I'm your dad. I love you. And we have our kids say whatever it is that they did, which is really hard, but that's a good thing for them to do. It's the same thing we should do with God. God, I did this. And you say the same thing as he says it. And then as he says it is. And so we do that with our kids. And then our kids, we say, okay, now say, I'm sorry. So we teach them repentance. We teach them forgiveness. And then we give them a hug every time. And we say, I forgive you. I love you no matter what. That's the foundation of covenant and unconditional love that we need to have. It's a commitment. It's not giving up or letting go. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. All the great love stuff, okay? Do we have that? Foundation of communication in your home. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. What a lovely foundation for us in our homes to have when we're communicating with each other, to have that love, that commitment to loving each other. So with that needs to be a security. That covenant and the commitment brings a security and a safety in our homes so our kids feel safe to communicate with us. Or a wife and her husband. Gosh, man, if a husband blows up every time that the wife comes with anything, you've blown it. You are no longer a safe, secure place for your wife. Vice versa. Kids and parents, same deal. As the parents, we have to... Oh, well, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. What we want to do is have this foundation that creates opportunity for success for our kids. Success in communication, right? Gosh, you guys writing this down? Okay, I can print this out for you later if you want. We should be communicating in such a way that we want our kids, our spouses, our coworkers, and friends to succeed, okay? When we went to UZinki, the leadership team was unified, which set the rest of the students up to succeed, and they did, and you can see how excited they were about being able to share all the things that they did and accomplished Well, we set them up to succeed. Okay. So in the bridge, there's the foundation and there's the environment. And so this is, there's some really great language in 1 Peter 3:8 through 12 that I found. And it goes like this. Finally, all of you have a unity of mind. So have unity in your midst, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart and a humble mind, tenderness, gosh, in your home in order to communicate. Yeah. Understanding, sympathy. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. So don't take jabs at each other. When you're going to fail if this is what your fighting looks like. Oh, honey, I realize that you did this, okay? And then the response is, oh, but you did this. That's why I did that. You did that. No, and then you did that. And then, okay, this is describing our lives, right? Well, that's repaying evil for evil. But on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, okay, that you may obtain a blessing. Bless to receive a blessing, for whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. This is why we do it. And his ears are open to their prayer. What a foundation for communication. God's eyes are on us and his ears are open to us. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And in that environment, in our homes, there's the foundation, there's the environment. We create an environment. What did he say? Pursue peace. Pursue peace, seek peace and pursue it. And this is huge, not judgment and not ridicule. If your kid comes to you, you can't blow up. It's their job to test the world because they're young. They're figuring themselves out. They've got all these new ideas, all this energy, all these new feelings, these hormones. It's their job to test the world. It's your job to keep it together and help them as they're testing it, right? As parents, know that. They're going to test. They're figuring stuff out. They're pushing boundaries to test and see if this Jesus thing has any substance to it. It's the parents' job to be patient and shepherd. And to use these opportunities to enrich their lives and to show them that Jesus really can prevail and sustain through anything. As parents and spouses and business owners and leaders, if people come to you and they get shouted at and it's not a safe place, then they will stop communicating altogether or will only talk when they absolutely have to. Is that the kind of environment we want to cultivate? No. You want your kids to come to you. That means you have to be at peace with them. So, gosh, we better scoot along here. So when and where? There's great proverbs that explain, don't bless your neighbor in the morning, okay? Because it's too early, okay? Or he's planning the day. Don't bless him in the morning. He's busy. And he hasn't had his coffee yet, okay? Wait for the right time, you know? And that means getting to know people, whatever. There's a right time to communicate, a right time to bless, a right time to talk about hard things, right? And you want to think about that. Kids, students, high schoolers, you know, your parents come home from work, they probably don't want to jump right into the, oh, this and this and this and this and this. But you want to think about the timing of when you're going to talk and communicate and have some maybe hard discussion. There's never a good time to do that, but there are some more appropriate times to do that, right? And body language too, right? So you want to think about body language when you're in communication, like this one. I think about my body language a whole lot more. I think the more interaction I have with people, the more I realize I'm always making adjustments like, okay, open body. I'm receiving. I'm listening. Open. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, like that. And then you want to have an environment that's quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Two ears, one mouth, twice as much listening than you are talking, right? Okay, that's how that goes. We've got to scoot. We have just got to scoot along here. So you've got the bridge. Within the bridge, there's the foundation of communicating. There's the environment that we're creating. There's the content. What are we communicating? Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Here it is. It fits the occasion, building up. Or when you're fighting, okay, you need to learn to fight well. And so we fight to speak life and love. You speak life and love, not darkness and death, okay? You don't fight to bring darkness and death, light and love, okay? To ensure success, I always tell students if they're having conflict with their families, I tell them to write stuff down. That way you don't get sidetracked and you don't forget what it is that you wanted to talk to them about. Just make a little list. Shh, write it down, okay? Because when discussions get heated a little bit, you forget even the purpose, and all of a sudden you're talking about stuff that you wish you weren't talking about. So you write it down, and you keep it on track, and you keep in mind that you want to build each other up and give grace to those who are hearing. And the content has to be filled with grace and truth. And with that, I'm going to have to skip to the barrier, because I can tell some of you in here are like, yeah, I got that. And some of you are like, no, this is too much. And for those of you that said it's too much, you're in the right place. With modern technology, hundreds of books about it, and even thousands of years to perfect communication, we are still awful at it. Okay? Right, the pinnacle of society. We should have this down. We've had thousands of years to get it, get good at it. Oh. We just can't do it. What I've told you to do, you can't do it. You know it. You already know. I just reminded you. And you don't do it. That's the difference between the self-help books and the gospel. The self-help books say, here, just do it. And you're like, yeah, I got that. No, you don't got it. We know what it is that we got to do. We just don't do it. It's good to have reminders and to come back to the scriptures, right? To help it mold and shape us, but we don't end up doing it. This week was a crazy week for me because I'm like, I'm going to do this communication message. And I was just failing miserably at communicating. There was like a few things that happened, and I'm just like, no, no, my way, my way. My way, no, no, no. No, not listening. Me, me, me. Okay? And then I'm like, oh, did that really just happen? And it did. I had the wherewithal to recognize it, but it's because I've been working on this message. And then I go to pray for somebody, and then I'm like, I'm just fumbling over my words, and I can't, like, the words aren't coming to me, and I'm just like, I might as well have just been speaking in a tongue, because I'm just like, amen. All right, let's move on, okay? So I was talking with Hannah about it. I'm like, I am just having a poor time communicating this week, so bad. And then this morning, bless her, she actually stopped me. She said, Seth, you know what? You did a really great job at communicating this week. You stopped. You caught yourself. You were listening. Hallelujah. We can't do it right, but Jesus does it. Where we fail, he has succeeded. Up until the end, Jesus stayed true and even yelled, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Right there, grace and truth, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Up until the end, the great communicator. God has taken care of our self-centeredness, our sin and our failures to communicate, and has forgiven us at the cross, and has offered all of the help we need, which is Him. When we feel alone in attempting to communicate and reconcile and do these things, but it seems impossible, remember that Jesus was completely alone in the end. He had all the grace and all the truth that everyone needed, but no one listened to Him. And everyone that meant anything to Him abandoned Him. They let Him die. The King who listened, the King who shared His life, He shared truth, He shared love. They turned away from Him. We turn away from Him. But He came back, and He comes for us all. In these last days, God has spoken through His Son. So we look to Him. That's where we find God's grace to do this and to communicate well and to not give up. It says, the righteous fall seven times, but get back up. He's given us His Spirit to convict and to remind us of who we are, and He's given us His Word. He's given us the reason to be forgiving, patient, and understanding, because He is forgiving, He is patient, and He is understanding. Work to understand and work to be understood. Don't let your sin and selfishness reign in your relationships with your wife, with your kids, coworkers, and friends. Let's talk more together, listen well, and be creative with how we communicate by God's grace. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Youth Sunday. Thank You for Your truth, how it is that guiding light and the righteous path. And we have it available to us. And Lord, we do fail at communicating, but Jesus, You never did. That's why we need You so desperately. Lord, forgive us for when we don't communicate well, when we don't listen, when we make it our way and make it about us, and we don't make it about You or compassion or empathy and listening, or we don't make it about the other person. Lord, we need You in order to succeed in this area. So bring it on. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Sorry we ran over a little bit, but have a blessed week. We'll see you next week. All right. Thank you.